Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Are blue fairies and talking crickets a good source for sound doctrine? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me is my colleague, Eric Johnson. Back in 1940, Walt Disney did a film called Pinocchio, and of course, it was all about a lesson for a puppet. In order to become a real boy, was instructed that he needed to be good. And of course, the whole lesson was all about the adventures of this puppet trying to be as best he possibly could in order to be a real boy, as if somehow being a real boy would alleviate him from ever being a good boy after that, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So obviously, it makes you wonder about that. But anyway, the blue fairy, the character in this film, was instructing Pinocchio that in order to know the difference between right and wrong, that he was to follow his conscience. The phrase was, always let your conscience be your guide. If you talk to most religious people, they say that they do try to follow their conscience, that their conscience does guide them. And we want to talk about that, because if you talk to a Latter-day Saint, it's not uncommon for them to say that they know certain things. Their heart tells them that certain things are true. Is this really a safe path to take? Because we find in the Old Testament, that was kind of the path that Israel took before they had a king. What does it say in Judges 17:6, Eric?
It says, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes.
Now, because we are sinful people, naturally our thinking processes have been affected as well. This is one reason why we as Christians believe that God gave us a source outside of ourselves to be our guide. In other words, we are not instructed as Christians to let our conscience be our guide, because our consciences and what tells us what is right or wrong can certainly be flawed, because based on what you already believe, what you already know, your conscience could take you in a completely different direction away from what is right, and you wouldn't really even know it, because basically you're doing that which you think is right in your own eyes, even though what you think is right in your own eyes is certainly not right in the eyes of God. So we find here this big problem. Our fallen nature demands that we carefully examine what we perceive to be true. Now, Mormons are told they pray about it. They will often tell you, well, I prayed about it and the Holy Ghost told me that what I believe is true. And that's really the whole controversy here, folks. Is it really the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, as we would understand it, that is telling the Latter-day Saint that what they believe is true? Now, they think it is, but is it really? And I often will tell Mormons who tell me that, I says, you know, that's the whole controversy here. I happen to believe that what you think is the Holy Spirit telling you something really isn't the Holy Spirit telling you that at all. Why? Because it conflicts with what God has already revealed in His Word, the outside source that we as Bible-believing Christians go to get our instructions and guidance. Would you agree?
Well, yes, and the fact that you're praying about a scripture that says in Moroni 10:4 that you can pray if you just have the real intent, sincere heart. The problem with that whole idea is, if you're going to take that test to be real test, then you have to take that with every religious book, and you're going to have to test out the feelings for each religion. Don't you think that the Muslim thinks that the Quran is an accurate book, that's something that he believes, and if you were to ask him, do you feel it's true? Of course he would say that, but it's objective truth we're talking about.
You bring up a good point, because trusting our conscience can be dangerous, since our conscience, as I've said, is merely a response to the knowledge that we already possess. Now, you bring up in Islam, Islamic terrorists, they have no conflict of conscience when they kill innocent men, women, and children in the name of Allah. Why? Because that's their presupposition. That's the basis of their faith. They think that is okay. Now, living in our culture, looking at this from a Christian angle, we would say, no, that's a horrible, horrible conclusion to make. Cannibals have no problem having their enemies for supper, literally. We would say, in our viewpoint, that that's a terrible conclusion. So we would say that trusting your conscience isn't a good test. It's not a good test.
Well, how many times have we been wrong? We've talked about this before many times, Bill, where somebody will say, I feel she loves me. I think she loves me. In fact, you do everything as if she does love you, and you find it's only one-sided. We don't call that love. We call it infatuation. And your feelings can mislead you. Or when you take that test and you feel like you aced it. I was a teacher for 17 years. I can't tell you how many students would either walk out with their tail between their legs, or they would be all excited. And then 3 days later, when I hand them back their test, and it could be a Scantron test, and either they got an F or an A, and surprised them. I thought I got the A, and I got the F. And the other guy thought he did poorly, and he did well. Your feelings are going to be a misleading indicator so often.
If feelings are such a good determinant of truth, then why are there so many divorces among Latter-day Saints? You would think that they would have thought through this relationship further than what they have and already had all the information. Now, I'm not, you know, we know divorce is a horrible situation within Christian circles as well, but I think it goes back to we don't know. Well, when a person says, well, I know this is the right one for me, you may believe that. You may think, based on the information that you have right now, that that's true. Just as a Mormon, when they come to us, they say, well, I know Mormon is true. They always have this cocksure assurance that they have absolutely no doubts whatsoever. And when you ask them, well, do you have no doubts whatsoever that you could possibly be wrong? Some Mormons will actually say no. Now, I would hope that I never get to the point where I could say that I would say I could possibly be wrong regarding my Christian faith. I probably could be, okay, and we've talked about this before. We probably could be. I don't think I am, but I have to at least be open to the fact there could be more information out there that I'm not aware of.
And that's the point. That's exactly right. And we have to look at objective truth. We have to look at the circumstances when you think that you love somebody and you think that she loves you back. Well, what gives you that idea? And you have to go look at the love note she sent you. You have to go look and see what she said to you in the past, et cetera, before you can say, okay, here's evidence that we are in love. But, you know, when it comes to the gospel is so plain in the pages of the Bible. The Bible says what we're supposed to be able to do to be able to know that we can have eternal life, and what the truth is, what the doctrines are, and if it's different from that, then you can say all day long that I know that Mormonism is true, but the Bible says that the doctrines of Mormonism, they are wrong every single time on all the major doctrines.
I recall a story my pastor has told me, how he was on a plane coming back to Salt Lake City and happened to be sitting across from a very well-known Mormon professor, a very well-liked Mormon professor who's written several books, and he was asking this man, how do you know Joseph Smith was really a prophet? And I think his answer was somewhere around 99% was subjective. He prayed about it and felt he was. So only 1% would be objective. That seems awfully dangerous to me. I mean, what if your feelings are off? And let's be serious. A lot of people are immersed, a lot of Latter-day Saints are immersed in a Mormon culture. Their loved ones and peers are all LDS. They trust their peers. So naturally, they're going to assume the information that their peers give them is going to be truthful. And if you're merely going to pray about it and get the kind of feeling that makes you go on with that, I think you're running into a real problem down the road if you're wrong. Because when you look at what the Bible actually says about this in Proverbs 14:12, and it's repeated again in Proverbs 16:25, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death.
In Proverbs 28:26, he who trusts in himself is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom is kept safe.
And what does it say in the King James? Now that would be the version that the Mormons would use.
It says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered.
And how do you walk wisely? You have to use the information or knowledge you have properly. This is why I would say that I think Mormons are often even using James 1:5 incorrectly.
Yep.
Joseph Smith used it incorrectly. He, if any of you lack wisdom, and yet what does he do? He goes out and he completely disregards wisdom and what the Bible says about seeing these heavenly beings, especially when they claim to be God. Of course, I believe that that story came about much later. I don't think he was telling that story in the beginning at all. But still, it shows how Joseph Smith had no problem misusing a Bible verse in order to draw the conclusions that he eventually drew.
What's the difference between wisdom and knowledge?
Well, wisdom, again, is the proper application of knowledge. And if you have bad knowledge in the beginning, you can see how the result can be disastrous. This is what we're asking the Latter-day Saint to do. I know many of them will tell us, well, I prayed and I know. Again, I think as Christians, we need to challenge that assumption. You're assuming it was the Holy Spirit that told you these things, but yet what you claim to be the Holy Spirit is telling you something that conflicts with what God has already revealed in the Bible. Now, if they can demonstrate that what the Bible actually says on this subject is faulty, okay, maybe they've got a case, but if they can't, I think trying to say, well, that's just your interpretation is not going to fly. Mm. They're going to have to do better than that. Sadly, a lot of Latter-day Saints don't feel inclined to do better than that. They would much rather hold on to this feeling and let their conscience, as a result, be their guide.
That's a more comfortable position.
Of course it is. It would be the easy way. But is it the right way? And that's really what it all boils down to. If Mormonism is not right, then your feelings really mean nothing at all.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. As with most Christian organizations, Mormonism Research Ministry depends on the generous financial support of friends like you. If you like what we do and how we do it, would you consider helping MRM meet its financial obligations? Merely go to our website, mrm.org. At the right, you'll see a donate button. Click there and follow the instructions. MRM is a Christian nonprofit 501c3 organization, and your gifts are tax deductible. Not only that, they are greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support of this ministry. Have you considered visiting the Holy Land? Well, in February 2015, Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson are hosting a trip to Israel with the option to visit the Seven Churches of Revelation in Turkey. During our 11-day trip to Israel, former Utah pastor Joel Kramer will take us on a day to see important biblical sites where very few people go. We'll also have a chance to swim in the Dead Sea, get baptized in the Jordan River, and hike through Hezekiah's Tunnel. To find out more, visit MRM.org and click on the Israel icon on the top right-hand corner of the page. Again, that's MRM.org.